Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Tim Saunders. You're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regaretti? I'm just here at practice this morning with the Rebels, trying to talk to you, talk about a little bit of action that's going on in the hockey world.
Yeah, man. Struggling with the technology this morning, I see.
Well, you know, I could not get my Bluetooth to work with my AirPods, whatever they're called. So we're trying this on the phone, which sucks, but I didn't bring my normal earphones. That's my bad.
You gotta be more prepared, Nast.
I do, but you know, trying to get a hold of you is like trying to get a hold of I don't know what.
It's 4 a.m., dude.
It's not easy. Yeah, but
just get up a little earlier.
you don't answer the phones. You don't answer the messages. It's tough.
Oh, I answer.
With fucking Hollywood here.
No.
Probably on your boat.
Fucking, on my boat. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Probably
something like that.
Yeah.
So what's going on? You recover after the big tilly the other day?
Yeah, I didn't really have much to recover from. I was red rotten. We didn't really come ready to play, but got to give them credit. They played well. Men's league, I'm talking about. The Rolling Rock team, they took it to us pretty good. We tried to make a late comeback, but just didn't happen.
Yep. It did not happen.
But, no.
You just got to recover and get back at it next weekend.
Big tough game against our rivals, the Blue Devils.
Oh, yeah.
All the boys.
Yeah. Hopefully you recovered by then, because I know you're getting old. And
oh, Jesus. Listen, the sad thing is I'm in better shape than a lot of the boys.
You are right. You got the light pins.
I got to keep them. I got to get them lighter.
Yeah. So what's going on in the retirement world in the NHL? A couple
wow,
of bodies
man.
Retiring.
Yeah, hey, man. I tell you what, Zdeno Chara is the biggest one for me. Well, him and Jans.
Ultra veterans.
You know, just from seeing Big Zdeno his whole career, I his first year in the minor leagues, he was in Kentucky, and they got told the story before. One of our kids was talking to him the night before in a bar. And I asked, it was Marty Chervin. I asked him the next day, I said, who's that guy you're talking to? And he's like, oh, it's Zdeno Chara. And I said, oh, he plays basketball here at Kentucky? He goes, no, he plays hockey. And I'm like, yeah, right. Guy's 6'9". Sure enough, he's on the ice the next day. And then what a career, man. God, the guy was just such a good human being. which I think everyone knows. I hate to see him retire. You hate this. It's like, you know, one of those guys that's kind of depressing a little bit because you're just so used to seeing him play. I was hoping he's going to jump on with another team. Fuck, I feel like that guy could play a longer because of his reach. You know, I know he slowed down a little bit, but it's always fun to watch, and he's a competitor and willing to battle for his teammates. I mean, God, I guess if I was 6'9", I would I wouldn't mind doing it either. But no, great player. Just a great pro and always treated people awesome.
Yeah, no, I heard the same, and I thought he was going to squeeze in another year just based on his, you know, physical stature and how he takes care of himself. Yeah, you know, and obviously he's got the passion for the game. It's 25 years, right? Jeez, I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about that. But wish him the best, man. He's one of those last warriors standing. You know, he was, man. He's done it all. He's played a lot of games in many different. International play, obviously playoffs, NHL, regular season, but man, what a competitor.
Yeah.
What an athlete. Awesome. So wish him the best. Jans too, man. What an amazing career.
Man.
It's a shame the way it went down for him last year, but you know.
What wasn't really fair with the injuries the team had, and it just wasn't a great representation of what he can do. But I know all the guys, saw a lot of the guys posting stuff, you know, calling him the GOAT, one of the best teammates they've had. And that's just him, man. I was fortunate enough to meet him years ago, and man, is he a funny human. God,
he's
just a good, good man. So congratulations. What a career, man. Like, I don't care who you are. You play that many games in a row. It's amazing. And he was
incredible.
Great guy, great player.
Yeah, no, I agree. Wish him the best. Interested to see where he pops up in the hockey world, because you know that he probably will in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Whether it's
love to see him on TV, right? Like he'd be.
Yeah,
if they let him be himself, you know, like it would be great because he is a funny dude.
It's a sheer entertainment for sure. And then speaking about entertainment, PK Subban, we're kind of shocked, you know. Kind of, I'm not shocked, but kind of taken off guard. I mean, 33 years old, I thought he had another couple of years. But I guess, you know, guys, you know, they make enough money and then, you know, they mature and you know, they evolve. You know, they just want to move on in life and you know, try something new, I guess, right? I mean, it's not like he couldn't find a job, in my opinion. I mean,
he's
going to take way less money, but who knows what the situation is there. But wish him the best. You know, he's a entertaining player, charismatic player. He brought a lot of flair and enthusiasm to the game. You know, I think the game could use more of that, honestly. But it is what it is. You know, life goes on, and guys got to make tough decisions at different ages and different times in their lives. And
yeah,
I
think things didn't go as well as he probably would have liked the last couple of years, you know, and he's definitely going to get a job in the entertainment world. You know, probably with hockey, but with him, he's a smart guy. Like, you never know, he could end up on any kind of type of show, but he's very good at that. He proved that over the last few years when he jumped on with doing some TV and stuff. And really good dude.
100%, yeah, articulate. Like you said, he will be in entertainment media some way, shape, or form. And I think he'll do a hell of a job with that. I think that's his personality. He puts himself out there. He's not afraid to be himself, which is important. And we will see. And then another interesting news there that we read, and it's not official, and we don't want to start rumors, but you know, the rumblings of potentially Nolan Patrick retiring, which is crazy, but not that out there either based on his in the last few years with his concussion related issues. So
yeah,
that would be a shame if that's the case. But I mean, at the end of the day, you got to take care of your own personal health, and you got to make some hard decisions in life, and hopefully it's not the case. But you know, just all signs aren't pointing to, you know, absolute wellness and you know, a full comeback. So who knows? But
it's a shame. You know, I don't want to say something I could get in trouble for, but you know, he took a lot of crap here. I wish people knew everything that, you know, went on behind the scenes, and it just sucks for him because he was a talented guy, and he never really got the chance to show that, you know, and things happen that everyone doesn't know about, and you know, maybe they come out later or whatever, but it's, you know, I'm an equipment manager and I know the guy was a treat to have, and I got along really well with him, and I just feel bad. I hope there's a way maybe he can hang on and get to play again. But like you said, you got to take care of, you know, your brain and your body and whatever it's telling him. He knows what to do. So great guy. Yeah. Miss him a lot.
He's a great guy. Yeah. I wish him the best, you know, tough juncture in life and in sport. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to preserve and take care of that mental health of the brain and overall physical health. Got a long life to live after hockey. So challenging times, you know, he'll figure it out. He knows himself better than anybody. So wish him the best. Tough news, you know, however that plays out. But you know, we're thinking of you there, Patty. So
yeah, for sure, buddy.
So wish all those guys the best. And I think we're ready to rock your NAST. Episode 87. Timmy Saunders.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we're so happy to have a legend in Philadelphia, the play-by-play announcer for the Philadelphia Flyers, Mr. Tim Saunders. What's up, brother?
I know you're being kind with the legend. Ain't no legend here.
You're a legend. You've been here since 97, brother. You're awesome.
How you doing, boys?
Doing well.
Doing well, yeah.
Thank you. Good to see you too, man. Thank you for coming out, man. We really appreciate it.
I saw Riles on the golf course this...
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't
hope
see
you. Hope you didn't see me swing. Thank God. We're talking about that for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
How about you? Did you play this summer?
Not nearly as much as I want to. I actually got out last week a couple times, which was nice, and hopefully a couple times this week. Today, we should be going today. Yeah. It's beautiful outside. Yeah. Have you played a lot this summer?
A lot of bad golf.
A lot of bad golf. You should be getting a lot better by now.
I should be way better than I am, as much as I was able to play this year. But I'm getting to an age where I don't hit the ball anymore. I mean, off the tee, it's pathetic.
My dad, I played with my dad last week, and he's 71 now, or 70, 71, whatever. And he's playing up there from the damn... senior tees.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
And I know, but like, and he can still hit the ball. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
He hits it straight. He's boring. Yeah. Hits it straight, then throws a dart.
Right down the middle.
And then he's putting for a birdie every time. It just pisses me off. But at least you're not hitting from the seniors.
I play with a lot of guys that do that.
Yeah.
From the senior tees. And I'd like to think when I get there, I'll be willing to do it. But I know a lot of guys just don't want to.
How old do you have to be actually to?
Is it 62?
Jeez,
you're almost there now.
Hey,
wow.
I am, actually. That's a sad thing. I probably won't make 62, boys. We know that. The way I go, I don't know if I'll make 62, but maybe I will. So how's your summer been, bud?
Not bad. Yeah. Busy. We're still kind of settling back into the house because we had an interesting pandemic when the house got destroyed by a storm. No. We were out of the house for about 13 months, but now we're back in, settled. It's been rebuilt. Played a lot of bad golf, as I said. Had some family in a couple of times from back home, and now it's time to get to work.
Yeah, that's right. It is. What are your thoughts right now going into this season? How are you feeling?
Well, I think everybody gets pumped up when it starts coming around, right? And I wondered late in the summer whether that was going to be the case. Would that same feeling come back? And it already has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking really forward to working with Torts, seeing the effect that Torts has on this team and where they go. Because I don't think you can look at last year. I think it was a complete aberration. I don't think you can look at last year and gauge a whole lot based on what they went through, from injuries to everything else. You guys know in that business, players aren't going to make excuses, and injuries are always thought of as an excuse, so you don't go there.
Yeah.
But the truth is, there's a reality to the fact 100%. That they lost over 500 man games to injury, lost all their centers at one point.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to win going through what they did.
That's
the truth. So I think it was an interesting summer for the front office. Chuck said going in that this is a summer of kind of transition, kind of figure out where we are, because you could overreact to the year you had last year and make moves that maybe 2-3 years down the line you regret. Sometimes the harder moves, I think, for a manager is the moves you don't make, and give it time to kind of settle so you know what the hell you're doing and what you got.
I agree. We've talked about this a lot. Like, you can't not look at the injury situation from last year. And, you know, fans and just anyone in general talk about, oh, they're terrible. I'm like, well, you didn't really see the team play together, right, to be honest. And like you said, the boys aren't going to make excuses. No one does. But I think the number one thing, and you probably agree, is John Tortorella being hired. I know Torts. I worked with him. Yep. He's unbelievable.
Yep. I think they got the right guy at the right time. Now, I say that, and I'll tell you, I was a huge Mike Yeo fan.
Right. Yeah. Loved great this guy.
Great human being. Yep. I absolutely loved working with him. And I was kind of hoping he'd be back in some, you know, as an assistant here. Yeah. He got a chance in Vancouver. He's going to work with Bruce Boudreau, and that's great for Mike. He was dealt an unfortunate hand last year. So be it. They got in Torts. I think they got the right guy in the right market. This
town's right.
gonna love him 100%.
Not just because he's combative, but he's gonna get everything out of this group that anybody could, I think. And sometimes you got to put guys in uncomfortable positions to get the most out of them. And talk to any of the guys, and I know you have, of guys that have played for him, and they all say the same thing.
Yeah. No, that's the truth. And I think he's going to do a great job at building, structure, obviously, but building that culture that I feel like is necessary in a market like Philly.
He hasn't been shy about saying, hey, we got some issues in the room. We got to address that first. And that the other day when he said that on a national podcast, that raised eyebrows. Chuck said that before the year was over. Not newsworthy. There are some issues that are going to have to be figured out. Once they do, then they can worry about what's happening on the ice.
Yeah, and I think the players will tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, from the guys, you know, talk to most of the guys still, and I think they'll tell you that that's the case, you know. Not that there's, like, bad people in there, but just got to figure this out, get our identity back.
Yep.
Philadelphia, Torts is fiery. This, like you said, the city's going to love this guy. And getting the players back, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, 100%. And he does a good job with the media, I feel like he knows how to sprinkle, you know, a few little, you know, bites for them to bite on, and then you know, it generates into something larger than it probably is. I think it's strategic. He knows
years,
what he's doing.
It's been really interesting to see coaches and how they deal with the media. Nobody played the media better, I thought, than Ken Hitchcock.
Right.
He knew how to play these guys, give them just enough as a distraction sometimes.
Yeah.
And he was a maestro. Torts is a different animal. I think he's pretty straightforward. You know where you stand with John Tortorella on any given time, and I think the players are going to do that, and I think the players appreciate that kind of honesty.
Yeah, they should, and if you don't like it, you won't be here long,
right,
or you won't be playing. But I think from what I've heard and what Riley's, you know, the guys we've talked to, they're fired up. They really are excited about this, and, you know, you want to get this change, like, and it's needed.
The guys that went through that last year, nobody wants to win more than those guys.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a misnomer that in Philadelphia the fan base wants to win more than the players. That's total BS.
Right, that's total.
And it goes, it's not only the players in the room, it's the front office, it's the management, it's the staff running the business side of it. Everybody wants to win as much or more than the fans do, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can put it together.
Yeah, yeah, lots of pressure for sure, right? And I think the guys were strongly recommended to come in early, and
they all did.
Yeah, right? And they've been here skating for probably well over a week here now, and just generating that buzz, that excitement, right, which is important when
for
you talk
sure.
about team chemistry.
And you got guys coming off of injury years that Kevin Hayes wasn't Kevin Hayes most of the year last year. You know, he got back into the lineup as his normal self late in the year,
You
saw what his numbers were.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited to see a guy like Kevin Hayes and how he responds to Tortorella. And I think to a certain degree, he's going to have to take some of the bite of this team. Torts has said, I'm not going to name a captain. I'm in no hurry to name a captain.
Right.
Yep. And I kind of like that approach. It kind of makes the whole group take some ownership in leading. And we'll figure out who should wear the damn C when it's necessary. But I agree with him. There's no rush.
He's got to get to know these guys, too.
For sure.
You know, I think it's cool that he's doing that. What do you say? No rush. I'm in no hurry to do it, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of leaders in there.
100%,
100%. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
He does.
You create the culture, build the identity, and then I think it'll present itself pretty obviously.
Yeah. As I am getting pumped up to answer your question. Yes.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I really am.
What are your thoughts on D'Angelo and Delorier signings?
I love them both,
yep.
And for obviously different reasons.
Yep.
The whole Ryan Ellis thing was such a bad hand to be played. Remember, Matty Niskanen retires unexpectedly.
Yes. Yeah.
You went a year without being able to replace that guy. What Chuck did in the offseason 2 years ago, he addressed everything that needed to be addressed. I thought he had a fantastic summer, and then everybody gets hurt, and you never really saw that team that he had put together. And Ryan Ellis was the biggest piece of that.
Right.
Yes.
It's a huge guy to take out of your lineup. I don't hear a lot of encouraging things about his prospects at the start of the year. Hopefully they can figure it out and get him to a point where he can play and contribute during the season. But you guys know the mantra in hockey is you don't worry about the guys that aren't there and aren't ready.
Yeah.
You got to focus on the guys that are. So you move on. They needed to move on and plan accordingly. And Tony D'Angelo, I think, is a great piece that'll fill that specific hole.
Yeah, their power play immediately is gonna benefit from Tony. Also, he's a highly competitive guy, and the fans are gonna enjoy that. And I think his teammates. You know, we had him on the show, and he's so fired up to be here. Like, he's, you know, he bleeds the orange and black, even though he went to other places. You know, he wanted to be here, so.
I'll tell you a funny story about him. I had never met him, never really talked to him. And we were in Carolina last year, and he happened to be out of the lineup for the Canes. And obviously, we all know where he grew up, and he was a huge Flyer fan growing up. And between periods, we're walking in the hallway behind the booth, and Coatsy down the hall says, hey, come here, I want to introduce you to somebody. And it was D'Angelo. And he did a quick introduction, but I didn't really hear who he was introducing me to. So for the first 15 seconds of this conversation, I had no clue. I had no idea who he was. And about 20 seconds into the conversation, I figure out, oh, shit, let's see, did I say anything? It's obvious I didn't know who the hell he was. And the kid couldn't have been nicer, having grown up here. He said, I loved listening to you guys as a kid, blah, blah, blah. I felt like a total idiot. And I can't wait to apologize to him because I haven't talked to him since.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's awesome, man. He's so fired up. It's awesome. He is a great kid, though, you're right. Like one of the nicest people you can meet.
Yeah,
and he's skilled.
He's very skilled.
He's got a skill set that they desperately need.
Yeah, yes,
100%. And he's an emotional guy too. I was obviously, as we know, but John Stevens was on not too long ago, and he's very friendly with his sons. And he's saying, as soon as this guy shows up at the rink, the energy level is increased. I mean, he's a high energy guy, emotional guy, loves the game. And I know that he just wanted to come to Philly. I think Jonesy was telling us the other day that that you know every time that that D'Angelo would play against the Flyers, he'd go after Sanheim.
He would like leave his position.
He would leave his position to go after Sandy because he was like, you got drafted, you know, to the Flyers.
Who says guys don't hold drafts?
Yeah, I know, right?
Poor Sandy's like, okay, I get it, man.
You know, leave me alone.
Every game in the last 4 years, right? Oh, that's great.
Well, he's going to fill a huge need.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, though, how he and Provy, if that's who he's paired with, how that top pair evolves, because I don't think it's necessarily set in stone, but it could be an interesting top pair.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, it would be interesting for sure. I think Provy could use a guy like that. I mean, obviously, we've got to see how it plays out, but you know, I think Provy needs that complimentary guy to obviously complement his game, give him that sense of security where he can
jump up in the play, and you know, he, knowing that this partner will be, you know, holding back and holding position. But
Provy better be ready.
Provy better.
Holy, because yeah, Tony's gonna jump.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's he'll be good point. For Provy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I think so. I think if they're together, that's gonna be a heck of a combo.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, anyway. What do I know? I know about equipment. But yeah, right. I've been watching those guys. It's I'm looking forward to that. I hope that is a pairing.
I hope so too. Yeah, it would be fun to watch. And then Delorier, obviously, a different type of signing.
So Delorier, I think, is way more important and a more impactful signing than most people are giving it credit
for. I agree with that.
Because you have no idea how many times we're sitting in the back of the plane, and after a tough game, how many times as guys come back to the back of the plane, it's like you got a sense like there's an element we're missing here. And they really were. And a lot of people are worried about the term, him getting 4 years. Who cares that they gave him 4 years? This is a guy that you're not going to be sorry having signed. First of all, the number of the contract, the money he's making isn't going to be something you're going to regret hugely in 2-3 years. Right. If you are, you could teams would be lined up to take him off your hands, and I don't think that'll ever be the case.
No.
He brings an element that still absolutely is needed in this league. It's not the intimidation factor it used to be in the 70s and 80s, but there's no denying, Riles, you know better than anybody, if you don't have that element, guys can't do what they're supposed to do if they're getting pushed around. That's not going to be pushed around.
No, and that's such a great point. Jonesy kind of talked about that the other day, too. You make every guy, and not to forget about Zach McEwen,
because
there's another big body that takes up for his teammates, and you know, even Tony. You don't really want Tony fighting, but I have a feeling he will fight a few times. You don't want the guy hurting himself. But
hopefully
anyway.
Hopefully it's not Sam.
Right, yeah, exactly. Great point. But you know, a guy like him and Mac, they make TK go from 5'10 to 6'2.
Yeah.
You know, and TK maybe could play his game a little more because, like, Jonesy, we've talked about it as well, but Jonesy, Keith Jones said the other day, he's like, TK's better when he's a little rat. Not a rat, but, you know, a shit disturber.
Yep.
I feel like he always played better when he was allowed to just play his game, and not to mention other guys like Morgan Frost and Farabee. You don't want these guys to get pushed around. And like you said, people can say it's not the same as the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, but you need this in the game. You need a guy on your team. You see it in the playoffs when teams are tougher, and I'm not saying they're going to fight every night, but you need this. You need your players to feel comfortable, know someone's there. Guys kind of leave you alone when you have a guy like him. He's tough.
Oh, yeah. He's legit tough. The toughest guy available, obviously.
Who would you like him to? A tough guy that you went up against.
Jeez.
He can skate,
I mean,
too.
Yeah, he can skate. I mean, he was a defenseman in the minors for 3 years in Manchester. He's a pretty versatile guy. Jeez, I mean, he's an undersized guy. He's only 6'1", you know, probably about my height. I mean, maybe Sean Thornton. I mean, you know, he'd skate pretty damn good in a straight line, fight every tough guy and their brother. He's going to keep Ryan Reeves honest, Tom Wilson honest, you know what I mean? And he's going to make everyone, to Nassie's point, feel a little bit bigger out there. And then he compliments Torts and the identity and the culture, in my opinion. I mean, it's you couldn't have found a better guy for Philly. And again, to your point, I don't think the Flyer fans understand how valuable this guy is going to be to this team and how much entertainment and energy he's going
to
bring.
Going to be interesting to see if they play him with McEwen, because McEwen can bring some of that too. Do you have them both on the same line, or can you spread them to different lines? You know, Torts is going to figure all that out.
But. Yeah.
I'd love to see him spread out a little
being,
bit.
If they're on the wings and you're their centerman?
Yeah.
I might be all right out there.
Morgan Frost in the corner. Would come 6'6".
Yeah, he would. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, but he'll make the Flyer fans ultra happy once he gets going, and he can bang bodies. He can skate, man. He's not just a goon. Obviously, they paid him well and deservingly so. You're not going to find a tougher guy that was available in the free market there. So
I have no problem, as I said, with the 4 years. Who cares?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a guy you won't have to look for that guy 3 years from now. Because you got him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So, to your earlier point on sometimes the best move is not really making a move.
Yeah.
To me, those two moves addressed a lot. You know, you got an offensive defenseman, probably replacing Ellis, but also some emotion, toughness, and then Delorier.
Well, and I said it that way, obviously, with Johnny in mind.
Right.
That's the elephant in the room.
Right.
The fan base went nuts because there was a guy, an elite player that wanted to play here. It's so hard if you're a general manager, given the circumstances that Chuck is dealing with. Do you pluck the easy fruit, the low-hanging fruit, spend the money, and go after that guy? What I don't think most people understand is what was it going to cost to do that, number one, because it was more than maybe moving a contract like JVR. I think other teams were asking for more than a first-round pick. On top of that, I think teams were asking for two first-round picks. Mm. Would you do that? You got a first-round pick next year that could turn into a franchise generational player. If you're lucky, there's no way I'd do that. So given what it would take to have pulled that off, do you commit yourself to that kind of contract? This team's more than one player away.
Yeah.
So I think Chuck was – I have great respect for Chuck and Brent and the front office staff. These guys know what they're doing. And sometimes maybe going after that one guy might not be the time to do it.
That makes sense, but I will say this. I think when you got Torch and the moves he did make, they'll be nowhere close to that first-round pick. To the top pick.
Yeah, you
to
might
the
be top right. pick. You might, it may not be a lottery pick.
But yeah, I don't think – I think Can these guys are going to be way better.
Can you imagine the criticism they would be laying themselves up for?
Yeah,
if
right.
it turned out that way, it was.
No, I get it. Yeah, right. I get it, but I'm just saying in a positive way, I think they're going to be a lot better than people think.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to be close to that very first
I'll
pick.
I'll say, and let's be – you know, try to be objective. You could have a really good improvement season, over 90 points, and it's still not going to be easy to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's a great point, too. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I'm just saying I think they're going to be better.
I do, too.
Than people are giving him credit for. And yeah. I don't think Torts minds being the underdog. I don't think he's like, hey, we're going to be way better. He's playing it cool.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think they're gonna be a way better team than people are giving them credit for right now. That's
for
just
for a number of reasons.
Yeah. Exactly.
100%.
And they'll lose the right way when they do. You know, it's not like maybe the last couple of years when you're losing, you're getting smoked and there's no fight, there's just no jam.
There were times and you guys appreciate that Coatsy and I have to be somewhat careful. Yes. Radio, we have the ability to kind of let it hang out a little bit more than in TV. You want to be objective and you want to tell the truth. We're not going to rip anybody per se, but there were times where it did look like this team was going through the motions at times because of who they had out of the lineup in some cases. And those are just terrible games to work, to watch. We're keenly aware of that. So you're right. I don't think even when they do lose this year, it ain't going to be like that because it's going to be entertaining and they're not going to get pushed around and they're going to push back. And that in Philadelphia, I mean, what that fits this market to a T.
100%.
You know,
it's showing up and laying it all out there and you're not going to win them all, but there's a way to lose, and we all know that, right?
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, going way back to the 40th season of the team, we had a really tough year. But the people still came because they worked. The boys worked, though, and the place was still packed. And, you know, they're going to give you the support if they see that you're giving it what you have.
For
you
sure.
Know? And I think you're going to see over 100%.
There's no fooling these people.
No,
there's
that's
not
true.
100%.
There's no so fooling true. This fan base.
You're right. Totally.
Any guy that jumps out to you as far as breakout year? I mean, there's probably a lot of guys who elevate their games.
I have a lot of guys circled in my head. I want to see what kind of camps they have that could be impactful. It's going to be interesting because with guys coming back healthy, and I'm really hopeful that Farabee is in better shape than they're letting on right now. I don't think he's going to be out as long as maybe they thought he was. I'm fingers crossed that that's true. But you've got some depth on this team, and some guys that otherwise would plug into the lineup are going to have to win jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm thinking a guy like Wade Allison. I love this kid.
Yep.
I love what he can bring, but there's no job there. He's going to have to come and take it.
That's it.
And he's one of those guys. Owen Tippett, I think, has high-end skill.
Yep.
You got to do it.
Yep.
And I always go into camp, and you guys would know this better than I. My attitude in camp is every year somebody's going to surprise. Somebody's going to open eyes that you don't expect. Remember the year Justin Williams came in as a rookie?
Yep.
And he was saying, I'm going to make this team. And people laughed at him. What are you talking about?
Buck 55 of him.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to make this team. He not only made the team, he never went to the minors.
Right, never.
So
turned out to be pretty good player.
He wasn't bad. Willie wasn't bad.
Willie, you weren't that bad.
So inevitably, you're going to have somebody that opens eyes and is better in camp than you expected. Now, the test is, can you carry that over into the regular season and do it for the long term and stay with the club? So, two different issues. But I think you are going to have guys that you're not expecting necessarily be impacts. Noah Cates is a guy that doesn't he's not going to score you 30 goals, but he's the kind of player that every coach wants in his lineup because he's dependable and he plays a two-way game. So there are a lot of guys that I'm anxious to see how they do in game. Ronnie Addard, I think, is almost certainly headed to Lehigh. A year of pro hockey in the American League will probably do him good. But I think he's going to be an NHL player. It's just a matter of how quickly it'll
His size alone.
Yeah.
I was with Ronnie last week, and he's a big kid, man.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw him on the ice, I was like, yeah, he's a pretty big kid. But then when you see him, I'm like, whoa, he's a big kid.
And
it's
these
big,
college players are more prepared than they were 10 years ago coming to college.
Yeah, they are.
That's the truth. Well, it'll be interesting training camp. Obviously, lots to prove from everybody, and everyone's bringing their A game. You know,
it's not going to be an easy
game.
It's
not going to be
an easy game. You guys know that. No. Not under Torts. And they're all kind of bracing for that.
They're
all saying the right things, that they know what to expect. But this is not going to be an easy camp, so that's going to be fun to watch.
This is like the old school camp. You're coming in, you're dreading the fitness test. You're dreading every on-ice section.
Oh, you never dreaded that, did you?
Oh, yeah. Especially when you start incorporating the run and this and that, all these mind games.
He's got to weigh 224 when he was playing.
That's true.
My fat, all in the head, man.
I love that one. Your one headshot there, man. People wouldn't even know it was you if they don't know you.
Right? It's stung by a pack of bees.
Pretty big melon.
Oh yeah. You don't remember how thick my head was? I don't know if it was inflamed from all the punches or from all the eating. It was one of the two.
It was those late night Burger King runs we used to make in the summer. We would be going out to the city, have some dinner and maybe couple of cocktails. I don't know what we were doing, but we would always pass. We lived together for a while, and we would pass getting on the 42. There was a Burger King. It was open 24 hours. And he'd be like, we're not stopping there tonight. I'm like, all right, fuck, pull off the thing.
Drive through now.
Two Whoppers with cheese.
Yeah. This guy? 75 pounds. I'd need a couple Whoppers.
Yeah.
And that'd be done by I lived about a mile from there. It'd be done by the time we got home.
So neither one of you guys are doing that anymore.
No,
thanks. Yeah, I'm past that. I'm not sure I'd pass towards his fat test right now.
Wait, you're about a 5. You got to be a 3?
Oh, no, he's 11. So
he's 11. Back, you'd pass that. Oh, my God.
Oh, now, but back in the day.
I wouldn't have, for sure.
I'm
not sure Delorier will.
Well, he's fighting heavyweight.
But he's okay. He gets a pass. I don't mean that in a bad way. You've got to let him kind of
Yeah,
for sure. Well, I got a question for you, Timmy, getting off this topic of the team. But you grew up a baseball fan.
Yeah.
And you did call some River Shark games. I knew that.
Yeah, just for fun.
So was that your number one sport growing up, baseball or hockey?
No, I was probably more a hockey guy. Okay. I played more baseball than I did hockey. I played both poorly. and that growth spurt that every kid got in high school or before, I'm still waiting.
I'm waiting. Yeah.
Never
I'm waiting
got.
As well.
Never got.
I'm right with you.
So I had it in here, but as an athlete, it was pretty clear pretty quickly that as much as I wanted to play, it wasn't going to happen. So it was really a matter of how else can I stay involved, because that was my love, and probably hockey more than baseball.
Okay.
I did the minor league call during the summer just kind of stay busy and see if I liked it.
Okay.
And it's so slow.
I was going to say, I'm like, a lot of games, man.
Yeah.
I would fall asleep to it. I like baseball.
Yeah.
I really like playing it more. I can't sit and watch it on TV.
And people always tell me, play-by-playing hockey has got to be the hardest sport. It isn't. The secret is it's the easiest sport to do. Because all you got to do is talk fast and stay and describe what's going on in front of you. There's no downtime.
Yeah, right. There's no fluff to fill.
The sports that there's so much downtime, that's the challenge. That's where it becomes. Hockey's the easiest.
Well, it's a skill, though, because you are, I'm not just pumping your tires here, but you're unbelievable at it. You're one of the best in the game for sure. And I think it's a skill to be able to call that as quickly as you do with the names. I mean, we talked earlier about Gary Thorne being, you know, his memory.
He had a photogenic memory.
Yeah.
And I don't have that.
Well, you know, I don't either, but just you still have to be on top of your game. And it's impressive when you're listening to a game. And you know, you got to know every player that's there, even a guy that's been called. You know, it's a skill.
It's so much easier when you got a guy next to you that you enjoy being with and you have a rapport with. And Coatsy and I instantly had a rapport 25 years ago when I got here.
Right.
And he's now become family to me.
Right.
He's done everything imaginable to make me feel comfortable when I got here. If I need anything, I know I can call Coatsy for anything. We love each other. And we want it to sound like two buddies sitting at a bar watching a game together and kind of shooting the shit. And that's – if we're not having fun – being with each other, why would anybody have fun listening to us? Yeah. That's kind of the objective, I think. We're never bigger than the game. The game's always
right.
The game's the game, but you got to have fun doing it. If you can't have fun doing this, God, find something else.
I agree with you, and I feel like if I could find someone like that, this podcast would go through the roof.
But we're still looking. We're taking interviews.
No, but you couldn't be more correct saying that. You guys, your chemistry is like you can – you know, going back, you know, I've known you since you got here, and the chemistry is there. And I was going to say, like, I feel bad for you sometimes having to work with Coatsy. I'm kidding when I say that. He's a mess, but he's great.
He's
and you guys, like you said, the chemistry is there, and you can hear it.
And he's a machine. Awesome. My God, you've seen him on the road.
Oh, boy.
He is a machine. You talk about treating your body like a temple. He treats his body like he's a frat house at Temple.
So he's the Rodney Dangerfield. Was that Back to School or that movie?
He is a trip. Nobody has more fun than Steve Coats, and it's so much fun to be around that, the energy he brings. We laugh so much during the course of the year. And it is a little bit like a marriage when you have a partner that you spend that much time with, because if you don't get along, it can be really draining.
That would not be fun. It's
not fun.
And then it's real work.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I tell you, I used to enjoy, usually happened in Canada, where I couldn't ride with the equipment.
Yeah.
And I would get on the media bus. Well, I say media, but all of us that worked with the team. I used to just sit back there and listen. I laughed my ass off listening to Coatsy, you, and Bundy, listening to every JJ. This all the you know, we're talking about the game and stuff we could never say.
That's usually the happy bus after a loss, right?
You're right. the happy bus after a loss is what you would say. But you guys are unbelievable. Great team, for sure.
We've had fun, and actually the same personnel in place for the most part in the broadcast group.
Right.
I think Jimmy and I are the longest serving two play-by-play guys with one team in the league.
Wow.
Jimmy's been here several years before I got here. So
there's a reason.
It's a group that gets along because we spend a lot of time together.
Yeah. And it's like you said, like it's just like with anything, you know, I worked with Harry Bricker for 15, 16 years. Like I worked with him for longer than that, but like right beside each other, it is like a fan. Like you're like a, you know, two married, you know, people, and you know, there's just days, you know, every day's not perfect, but we got along great, and you and Coatsy get along great. It's important because it makes it not so much like a job.
That doesn't mean you don't have your moments,
right? 100%.
There was an international incident one time early in my career. Remember the year we had training camp in Peterborough?
Yes.
So we go to Peterborough, and we were in training camp for a week, and we leave there to go to Washington to play our first preseason game. And Coatsy and I got arguing about something in the Toronto airport, and it got to an FU, nose to nose, and I'm not going back down.
Right.
The hell with that. I think confrontation's good. And I think it can be good for a relationship sometimes. And the officials had to come over and separate.
Really?
It was borderline ugly.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What's the craziest thing you've seen Coatsy do? There's got to be some.
Well,
gold.
I got a whole list. None of which we can talk about here.
Right.
he's a trip. I loved. Do you remember the time you guys were in a bar in Pittsburgh, and somebody introduced him to this this girl who turned out to be a sprinter for a.
Oh
college
my God! That
remember,
was a
he raced
ago.
The.
He raced her. I have the video
out on the street.
On the street,
it was hysterical.
She was a sprinter for a school.
Yeah,
and this girl was put together. Like you could tell, she was a runner.
She was a track star.
Like right. She, the thigh.
Yeah,
you know,
right. You could just
and
tell.
And it was great because we put it to that music. What's that song? I forget the name of that. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh yeah.
And we did it slow-mo. And Coach just. He's just
hobbling.
Hobbling.
They played it for the guys before the game the next night.
The guys were fired up.
A little pump tape?
Oh, my God. It was the best. I mean, this girl could run. But we gave him, what, a 5-second head start?
It was a 50-yard dash, and they gave him a 30-yard head start.
Yeah,
and
she caught
him
30 yards. That's what it was.
30 yards?
He got to start 30 yards ahead, and she just
and she just blew right past him.
Oh, she could ride. Oh, that girl. That was awesome. Oh, my God.
We got to find that footage.
Oh, it's there. He keeps it loose, and that's what's fun about.
How does he keep that energy level up? That I know Nasty's got some secret sauce, but what is Coatsy doing?
I need some secret sauce.
I don't
I'm
know.
Getting older,
he might overdo the secret sauce sometimes.
Could be,
but he's a machine. And,
he's a machine.
I love him.
That's awesome. Oh, Coatsy, he's such a beauty.
Remember when he had the scooter when he blew out the Achilles?
Oh, I've got some good video of him on the scooter.
You ever see him get going downhill? Coming out of a bar and he can't stop the damn thing.
No,
there's traffic going both ways as he's approaching the end.
One
of
those scooters you just grab outside the bar. There, is he put.
Oh no, he traveled with.
When he banged up. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But he. I remember in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it was a playoffs or not, but in Pittsburgh he got going down that little side street, going right to the hotel there, and he's
The speed wobble.
Oh yeah, man. Like it was, and you're worried because, like you said, there's cars coming. You know, like
imagine.
And he was wound up too. Maybe Hardberg had done something, so he was wound up.
It doesn't take much to wind him up.
It doesn't.
We used to grab his phone when we'd cross the border and change the language to French and had him convinced that when you go over the border, that just happens and it'll fix itself when you go back. And, of course, it doesn't. And he'd get home, and a week later, he's still trying to get the damn French off his phone.
No way. So he had French the whole time he was in Canada? Oh, listen, poor guy.
He would set his phone down, which I just can't believe he just say keep in his pocket after how many times we did this. He would pick his phone up in front of someone and like hit the power, you know, like the picture come up, and it was not a picture that he had up there originally. If you know what I mean, we'll keep this kind of clean, but it would be some really funny pictures, and he would just because he didn't have no clue how to
no
fix
tech,
it.
No, no, yeah,
worse than me,
yeah, right.
Like couldn't fix it, and like he said, he'd do the French thing, and I was just it was comical, and the best was like once I was done hanging the gear, sometimes I would catch these guys before they go to dinner, and they'd be having a quick beer or something, and I'd come in and I'd see Coatsy's phone, and I would just I'd lean him, hey buddy, and I'd just take it and put it in my back pocket. He wouldn't know till they get up to leave. Now he's fucking
himself.
Yeah.
Every trip.
Nasty, give me my phone back. I'm like, Coatsy, I just walked in here and I don't have your phone. And he's like going to everybody, where's my phone? That finally I'd put it down behind him and oh man, but you could do it every day.
He's fun to be around and the air. We just bust each other's balls constantly.
Yeah.
And if you've got a guy that you can do that with and he can ad lib a little bit, you can have fun on the air. And that's kind of sometimes, you don't want to go too far with that, especially if the team's not playing well.
Right.
You've got to kind of keep that in check. But, again, we're having fun, and we hope it's fun to listen to us, and that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. You got to have fun. You just generate that energy, like you said, and having a guy like Coatsy's certainly helps facilitate that.
Never losing sight of the fact that the game is the game. The game's the product.
Right, 100%.
You're never bigger than the game.
Right, 100%.
You touched on it a little bit before when you talked about your love for hockey more than baseball. Mm-hmm. How did you get into hockey broadcasting? Was that something you always wanted to do?
I'm a slow learner. It took me a little longer than it should have to figure out how to get from point A to point B. I was a senior in high school. It was already pretty apparent that I didn't have the skills as an athlete, right? So it was, how do I find a way? I'm writing sports for the school paper, that kind of stuff. And a journalism class, a teacher got up and said, there's a station in Detroit, major market, that's doing a sports talk show, and they're looking for interns. And I absolutely jumped at that. I did. I was an intern on a sports talk show an hour away. I'd drive right after school, 3 days a week, and fell in love with radio. I knew pretty quick that that was maybe my way to stay in sports. So after college, by the time I got out of college, I'd worked for a few major market stations, not on the air, but kind of behind the scenes, internships, some technical engineering type jobs just for a paycheck. Got a job on the other side of the state in Michigan in Grand Rapids as a sportscaster, where I met my wife. We started a family, bought a house. I was there for 10 years. And I had always figured if I just concentrated on a sports radio job, that I was fortunate, and then it would lead to other things. And after about 8, 9, 10 years, people would ask, well, what's really the goal here? And it kind of forces you to answer the question. And if I really was honest with myself, as ridiculous as it sounds, I would have said to be a play-by-play guy in the NHL. So that kind of led me to figure out, how do you get from here to there? And it was that long before I realized those jobs aren't being filled by stations. You got to go work for a team. Mm. So I started sending tapes to every minor league team in the country. I worked a year in the Colonial League with the Muskegon Fury at the time.
Oh, wow.
Went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and did 2 years in the Central League. Which was a great experience because I was a PR director and a broadcaster there, riding the buses in the Central League. I did 2 years in Cleveland in the IHL and then came here. A lot of guys in our business are, I shouldn't say a lot, some are really fortunate to stay in one market and get an opportunity and make that leap into the play-by-play seat. But I don't think I'd do it differently. I would not have wanted to miss the minor league experience because I have more stories of,
I'm sure,
of riding the buses with the minor league teams. And to me, that was paying my dues. And I don't think I'd want to do it differently.
Right.
I hear that. Respect the path for sure. Because it's almost necessary to find yourself and find your way sometimes.
More fun. And I constantly remember, remember who Jim Boughton was? Jim Bunt was the pitcher that wrote Ball 4.
Okay.
And died within the last year. He did a lot of public speaking after he had retired. And he always talked about enjoy the process.
Yes.
Don't focus so much on the
yes,
goal.
Yes, that's
if
the truth.
You don't enjoy the process of getting there, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
So right. I always
try to
remember
that. And it won't
be
as fun once you get there. You got to enjoy the process. That's amazing teaching for sure. You got the radio voice. Is that something you have to work on, or is that a blessing? Or no, you never took communications class working on that sound? Or?
The bigger issue is, in my minor league days, I had guys tell me, well, you got to have a signature call. Your call's got to be something that people identify you with. And as much as I guess I get that, what that leads to is guys trying to manufacture something that isn't really natural or genuine.
Mm. Right.
I think we're all a product of what we grew up with and what our experiences are. And I'll tell you a story. When I was in Tulsa, after a game, I'd go to my office and do PR work and realize that, shit, I could get the Detroit station at that time of night at 11, 12 o'clock in Tulsa. And I got a refresher on listening to the guy I grew up listening to. His name was Bruce Martin. He was like the Gene Hart of Detroit.
Okay.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He did 40 years in Detroit.
Wow.
And it was amazing to me after having been gone a couple of years. Holy God, all my play-by-play vernacular came from this guy without even knowing. It was just
subconscious.
And the most natural way to call a goal was the way I listened to him call a goal with the high screech and the, you get to a different octave. I realize it sounds ridiculous. It sounds stupid sometimes. But it's not manufactured because that's what I grew up listening. I was a huge Red Wing fan when I was a kid. We'd go to 30 to 40 games a year.
Wow.
And playing street hockey, we'd always mimic the guy we were listening to in his goal call, and that was iconic in Detroit to us. So that's, I guess, the where it came from. And like I say, some people think the goal call is ridiculous. It's what I grew up with, and
that's awesome.
It's not phony.
Yeah, right. And that's the biggest thing, right? Yeah, exactly. Is being authentic and genuine is
gotta be
key.
Yourself.
You got to be yourself. I mean, you can see right through people that, you know, say try and manufacture something, just doesn't sit where it doesn't land very well, I guess you could say. So
it's interesting. Could remember that kid? It went viral. Boom goes the dynamite. Did you ever see that ball? You got to find that. These kids like learning. He's in, I guess, high school, and he's like doing highlights of a game.
Yeah,
and he goes, and this guy like hits a shot or dunks it. He goes, and boom goes the dynamite. But like zero, just
no energy.
And he comes in. He's just,
that's pretty funny. Oh man!
But yeah, that's awesome. That especially like you're doing it subconsciously. It's pretty cool. And I don't think your call is bad at all. I like it. I enjoy it.
Some people think it's nails on a chalkboard, but whatever.
So, speaking of your call, what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite call that, or something that you know you just won't ever forget?
The obvious ones that you remember, the Primo goal in five overtimes.
Yes.
And when you're doing that and you're trying not to lose your voice because you've been on the air for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And all you're thinking about as a play-by-play guy is don't blow the call. Don't blow the call.
Oh, my God.
Don't be talking about something else. Stay with the play because it's all about you want the highlight because you know that's going to be replayed forever.
Right. Yeah.
So just don't. Did I have a great call? Not one that's memorable in that way. It's just the moment of that particular game. The Dan Carcetto overtime goal, for some reason, I remember that.
Because he didn't know where to go.
Yeah, right.
And my call was, Carcetto, damn it. You know.
That's
the
awesome.
Andy Delmore hat trick. I think it was in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So Andy Delmore's a defenseman. He had two goals in a game. He finds himself with a puck in the offensive zone, as I remember it, when guys were leaving the zone, and he found himself caught in the zone, and the puck came back to him, and he turns and scores for the hat trick. And it was the closest I ever came to throwing an F-bomb on here. Because the call was, Andy Delmore!
Yeah, right.
I didn't say it, thank God.
Yeah.
But those moments
kind
of stick with you.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, there's got to be a bunch more, too. You probably...
A ton.
I mean, 25 years is a long time.
A ton, yeah.
I have a question, too, about even in Cleveland. What years were either 94, 95, 95, 96?
95, 96, 96, 97.
Okay, so you missed Paul Laws. I don't know if there was...
Yes,
he was there because I had him in Florida. He was a tough guy.
Dave Mikhailik was there. Jock Callender was there.
Wow.
Lane Lambert was there. Brad Lauer was there. Most of those guys are in some way still associated with the game.
Right.
Mark Osborne played in Cleveland with us.
I was going to ask you, did your best brawl you've ever seen, or you know,
my best brawl was my first game in the Central League. We were in Wichita, Kansas, to play the Wichita Thunder, and brawl broke out on the ice, and it started because some guy got drilled on the far wall and the glass popped out, so now there's a missing pane of glass, and here come fans out onto the ice. And there were a bunch of Tulsa fans jumping out onto the ice.
Oh, my God.
And a Tulsa fan was running to one of our tough players. We had some tough guys back in the same. Remember Craig Cox?
Oh, yeah.
He played in Tulsa.
Oh, my God.
We had some tough guys back there. And one of our guys turned around and sees this fan coming at him and rears back like he's going to drill him. And it was one of our fans that made the trip from Wichita. It was a shit show.
Oh my God.
On the air. This is my first game of the like, what the hell am I gotten myself into? And I kept questioning where the hell is the security in this building?
Yeah.
The commissioner of the league sitting four rows away from me, and I'm trying to get him to come on the air. He wanted no part of that.
I guess not.
Come on.
There have been a few crazy moments.
Bring Ty Domi
falling into the penalty box.
That was a classic.
Wow.
Bring the whole family down.
Yeah, I know, right?
Slap shot.
I mean, you've been in the game for obviously a long period of time. Maybe not necessarily the Broad Street Bullies, but you know, talk about the evolution of the role of the enforcer, and you know, going from when you came in the league in '97 till now. We talk about Delorier and how it's evolved.
Well, funny, when I was a kid and a huge Red Wing fan, Wings were just horseshit teams. They were terrible. They missed the playoffs just about every year of my childhood. So my adopted team, for whatever reason, were the Philadelphia Flyers. I have no idea why, but they were the most entertaining team. They were the toughest team.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of cool to have grown up watching those guys from a distance and then getting to know many of them who are still around.
Sure.
So I was a huge Flyer fan. I actually watched hockey with my grandmother. My grandmother was the hockey fan.
Oh, really? Wow.
And she got me into hockey. So, we'd watch all the playoff games with the Flyers, and she absolutely loved when a guy would have his sweater pulled over his head because she wanted to see the suspenders. I don't know why. But those were obviously very entertaining teams.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Has the role is there a role that, like, Schultze played back then? Obviously, the game has evolved, and it's changed. But not entirely, because did we talk about earlier with Nick Delorier?
Yep.
There's an element that if you don't have that, and it can't be one guy, and it's not going to be one guy with this team, but there's still an element that's got to be there. Roles changed, even from when you played, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But
patrolling the red line, warm-ups.
Oh, yeah. You send the vibes out, you know, flexing.
But if you don't have that guy, you're going to spend years looking for that guy.
Sure, yeah. No, 100%. Sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, to me, it's still such an important piece to this puzzle. I mean, obviously not Broad Street Bullies, but that element of having a guy like that in your locker room on the ice does make guys feel more confident and give them a little more space.
Guys are so much bigger now.
Right.
Back in the day, the tough guys weren't huge.
No, that's right.
Tiger Williams wasn't a big guy. Shit, Ted Lindsay was not much taller than I am.
Yeah, even Hammer, man. What is he, six feet, 6'1"?
Yeah,
I mean, a big guy.
It wasn't about size and brute strength.
No. Just willingness.
It's
and
a willingness,
up.
Exactly right.
Yeah. But the element is still profound. You know, when you talk about the psychology of accountability and having someone on the ice that could potentially react to a certain play, right? You look what a couple of years ago with Panarin, right? Before they got Ryan Reeves. I mean, had someone just been standing on the bench, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you said, you're right. I missed calling games in that era when that was normal. But in one of my Central Hockey, we were in Oklahoma City, and the Oklahoma City Blazers had a guy by the name of Bruce Schuhbottom. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. I know Bruce. Yeah.
Tough guy.
Right, yeah. But Boston,
He was actually in our penalty box. The game was actually in Tulsa against Oklahoma City. And I remember he was in a penalty box, and one of our tough guys challenging him from the ice. So Schuhbottom stands up, opens the door like he's going to come back out. And whatever possessed the penalty box attendant to do this, he put his arms around him from behind like he's going to keep Schuhbottom from going back out the ice.
God.
And he picks this guy up and tosses him across the penalty box. Well, the guy that was doing that job is an off-duty cop. And all the security guys are all his cop friends, and they converge on the penalty box and choke him out.
Wow.
And it was ugly. It turned into a national story.
Oh, my
God. There are moments that...
Yeah.
We're going to find that clip. Yeah, you know, Schuhbottom getting tackled by police.
I don't know if there was YouTube back then.
No, probably there wasn't.
Definitely not. No.
We drew pictures.
Yeah, right. Oh man.
You know, for a young guy trying to get into the radio space, communication space, any advice on how to pursue their dream?
Well, if you're talking about the play-by-play job, I guess the only advice is the only way you get better at it is to do it.
Yes.
So young guys have come up to me, and maybe they're from this market, their family's here, they're committed to staying in the market, and it's hard to explain to a kid that that's not a very good approach. If you're not willing to go wherever, you got to go anywhere and call the game. Maybe you're lucky enough and you get a gig as an off-ice reporter or between periods or whatever, and you're hoping that that'll turn into a play-by-play gig. Does it happen? It can, but more often than not, play-by-play guys did play-by-play in the minors.
Right.
Yes.
So you pretty much have to go do it, and that's the only way you're going to get better at it. So I guess that's the one piece of advice I'd have for a kid that specifically wants to do that is you learn by doing.
Yeah, 100%. And you got to go where the work is, to your point, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like if you want to think it's going to be an easy road and you're going to sit around and wait for this magical, beautiful job to appear in your lap,
you'll be sitting there a long time. And you got to wear more than one hat.
Right.
Because minor league teams aren't going to pay
That's the truth.
A guy to just be a broadcaster. You got to be a PR guy. You got to sell. That made off seasons just agonizing for me, because when you're not calling games, now you're doing other things that you're not really comfortable doing. I didn't really come here for that, to be a salesman, because that ain't me.
Yeah.
But it's the price you got to pay.
Right.
It's like, how bad do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
I get emails still of kids, young kids. How do I get into them? I'm like, whew. First of all, don't. If you're smart. but you're exactly right. I'm like, you need to send your resume everywhere.
Yep.
And you may have to be an intern. And you may have to go somewhere you don't want to go. You have to if you want to do it. I was lucky. Like, I was so fortunate.
Well, we're all lucky.
Right? Well, we're all
100%
lucky.
In the league.
I mean, I graduate college, and, you know, my dad gets me a job with Mr. Clark, hires me, you know, right out of college. I was fortunate. I tell every kid that asked me that, or anyone that asked me, like, how'd you do it? I'm like, I don't know. I was lucky. That's all I can tell you. But you learn. But you're right. You got to go wherever you have to go.
I'll tell you about one of the first hockey jobs. So we're in Grand Rapids. I've convinced my wife that we can't stay here. I've got to go do this. And that's going to mean leaving her family with two little kids. But she bought in. She, from day one, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of guys get stuck in a market because their spouse wasn't willing to make those sacrifices. So I get an interview lined up in Wheeling, West Virginia, in the old ECHL.
Oh, yeah, Nailers.
And I figured, you know what, this is a family decision. I'm asking her to make huge sacrifices, so I'm going to take her with me. Rent a car, we drive from Grand Rapids to Wheeling for this interview, and we're driving through the city when we get into Wheeling. And she would have done it, but what's going through her mind? Because there are guys on the front porches with banjos. She's looking at me like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, she would have done it. I know. I didn't get the job. Thank God.
Yeah, right.
And 3 weeks later, I got the gig in Tulsa, which was a way better fit and a great stop. But you don't do it alone if the people in your life aren't willing to support you. And thank God she's been willing to make that move. It's not easy to make those cross-country moves with kids.
That's the truth. Yeah.
Young kids.
Yeah,
And thank God she allowed me to do what I do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's very important.
Yeah, for sure. And again, having that support is obviously critical. But following your dream, right? I mean, it's like if you play it safe and you just stay comfortable where you're at, you'll never be able to find your way or ever even give yourself a chance.
If some 31-year-old came up and said, I want to be a play-by-play guy in the NHL, you know, you're going to be polite and say, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, yes, right. Good luck.
Like, how realistic is that, really? So you talk about being lucky. I've been hugely lucky.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You've been here for 25 years for a reason, and I think Flyers are lucky as well.
100%.
That you ended up here because you do a great job.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you, Tim. This has been awesome.
Hey, great setup. I listen
this
to the show
nasty.
All the time, usually when I'm mowing the lawn or doing some medial chore around the house, but I love listening to you guys. You guys do a great job.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.